For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 13th, 1990. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bob Boos is the teacher of the morning.
God, praise God, praise God. Now listen, on humility, honey, I don't think we've ever preached that.
I don't think we have either.
It's just we've preached a little couple verses of it, but so we're going to see how this is going to come out. It'll come out good, though. Humility comes as an act of faith. That's a good one. Matthew 18:3-4.
Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
You know, a little child, you teach him anything. I mean, you just sock him enough times, he'll learn and stay away from you as best he can. You follow me? You learn to hit him, he'll learn to withdraw into a shell. I mean, it don't take you long to teach that kid how to be rebellious. If he didn't inherit it from you through the family line, he'll sure pick it up from your orneriness. Are you out there? So, a kid, a little child, he'll pick up, he's open, and it doesn't take him long to learn whatever you're teaching. So God said, except you become converted and become teachable, like a little child. Except you humble yourself and become teachable, like a little child. See, humility then is something you can do as an act of faith. I choose to be tender before God.
Amen.
And you sort of check yourself out. If God speaks to you, like in the offering, give $50. And so you're submitted enough to obey him a little bit, so you put in 10. Are y'all hearing me? I used to do that with God. God say put in 100, I'd just cut it down to 50. Are y'all listening to me? Now that is not humility. That is rebellion at the offering. Oh me. See, if you're humble like a little child, that little kid will do anything you teach him. You teach him to steal, he'll steal. My little grandkids, pre-teenagers, junior age kids, was working for me the other day, and I gave one of them $10 and the other $7 or $8. Well, within an hour, one of them come up and wanted to borrow $3. Wasn't enough. He needed something else. He only wanted $3 for working for me in the first place. I did him like I did you. How much do I owe you now? What do you think? Well, he said $3. I said, you're too low. And so I gave him $7, see? And
but the other, then when the other brother got $10, he didn't appreciate it.
He was jealous because the older brother got. Anyway, he wanted to borrow $3. He wanted $10. I said. Then the next morning, his oldest brother wanted to borrow $3. I said, I am not lending you kids any money.
They had something that they wanted to buy that cost a little bit more.
I am not teaching you how to borrow. If I teach you how to borrow, you're just going to be messed up the rest of your life. I'm not going to teach you how to borrow.
Amen.
I mentioned somebody they knew was in trouble financially, and I said they're in trouble because they borrowed when they ought not to be borrowing.
Credit.
All right, you teach those kids something. You teach them how to get mad with your orneriness. Teach them how to love with your sweetness. Okay? Now, God says, except you humble yourself and become like a little child. Teachable. How are you this morning? I believe most of you are teachable.
Amen.
You know, some of you are not teachable, and you don't even know it. Bless God, I believe this. And boy, you're...
I shall not be moved.
It's like last night we mentioned eternal security and fall from grace. You know, I don't know where you are, but, you know, don't you cross me up. I believe once saved, always saved. Well, I know a lot of charismatics believe that. A lot of Pentecostals, not many Pentecostals, because they've been brainwashed the other way. Praise God. You see, neither is right. What is right? Whatever God says is right. And you don't always know what is right. You see, I give them to eternal life. I said, stop your stealing and stop your lying because you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Over there in Ephesians 4, 26 or 22 through about 27. I don't know if it's right in that area. Stop your lying, stop your stealing because you've been sealed. Quit grieving the Holy Ghost whereby you've been sealed. Well, that Baptist would like that verse. That's a good one, see. But then there's so many that says, without holiness, no man will see God. Take heed lest you fall. You see, well, I can argue either side. Well, that means this, and that means this. Well, this, shut up. And humble yourself before God. Is God saying?
One thing about that, it's like having a good marriage. If you run around on your mate, you're not going to have a good marriage. And it might come to bye-bye. But if you are always trying to be together, trying to be considerate of your mate, then it's, well, praise the Lord. It's until death do us part. Of course, you might try.
Now, we're talking about humility. We're talking about how to enter the area of humility like a little child. He is obedient. He's open to whatever you teach. But if you're locked in, this is what I believe. Don't you try to cross me. You can't teach you anything. You're so locked in on your dumb doctrine that you're unteachable. Now, I want to confess, nobody here like that.
Amen.
Now, some of you are like that and don't know it. So just say, God, help me to see where I am not teachable. You're never going to walk where God wants you to walk unless you become humble and teachable. I got into this doctrine. You know, I heard about this doctrine. You know, Kenyon was teaching the idea of Jesus dying, going to hell, and suffering in hell. Well, you know what? I never have got that thing straightened out yet. You understand? Oh, I'm absolutely sure, you know, in my heart sometimes that doctrine's wrong, and then sometimes I'm not 100% sure.
Well, now, parts of it we know are...
You see, I just don't know about all that. I don't ever teach that stuff because that's theory. You follow me? Some of you know very well he died and went to hell. Are you all out there? See, I don't know that. But I'm just hanging loose in Jesus. At least I'm teachable if in case he did. I'm still studying.
Amen.
And I've been studying for 20 years, and I still haven't got it figured out yet. Teachable on it.
The way I look at it, the devil's not running hell at all. He's the chief prisoner there.
So you just kind of hang loose on these things. You say, well, I believe he did. Well, that's all right if you're teachable to let God sort of teach you the other way in case he didn't.
Amen.
It's quit being so stinking stubborn. You all know I'm loving you, don't you? Now, if you're getting angry, you see, you're the one I'm talking to. Be open to truth. Because I love God's Word.
Amen.
And I try to be honest with it. Praise God, praise God. You'll never be teachable unless you're humble as a little child. See, that little child, he don't argue. He just whatever Bob and Mom teaches him, he takes it. Teach him to be good, he'll be good. Teach him to be bad, he'll be bad. Sock him around, and he'll pull into a shell and hate everybody.
But, of course, there are more ways of teaching than just with your words. Your actions teach louder than your words do.
James 4, 6 through 12. We're going to read these scriptures. I'll interrupt a little in it every once in a while.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud.
Now, wouldn't you like that now? I'm too proud to get anything, so God resists me. Bless God, I got it figured out. I know exactly how it is. You proud spirit, you're never going to go a step farther until you wake up and repent of your orneriness. Y'all still loving me? God resists the proud. I don't want God to be resisting me. I want to be in there knowing what God's saying. I want to find out the truth for today. You understand that, Jack? Man, I want to know how to move in this Holy Ghost like you do. You rascal. See, he's tender and humble in that area and just opens up. Some people are more open in certain areas than others, too. Don't forget that. And some of you just ordained to God to be that way. There's so many angles to God, you cannot put him in a box. Whatever I teach has another side to it. We're just giving you a little tidbit here, bits and pieces. You have to figure out where they go. Ho, ho, ho. All right, read on.
He resisteth proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
So there's a special favor. See, grace, favor, charisma, all in the same pocket. Special gifts. That's part of it. That's part of the word charisma. Grace, charis, gifts. There's a special gift. There's a special blessing. There's a special favor. There's a special honor to the man that will walk tenderness before God. Gentle. Now that's what you was talking about, Brother Glenn. Coming into that place before God. Are you hearing me? Humbling yourself before God. God will not use a proud, rebellious people. And some of us don't even realize that we're proud and rebellious until we start touching on it through messages like this. The areas that you're so full of pride in, and you don't know it. Lillian's got a lot of it.
Thank you, darling.
La, la, la.
Shall I start talking?
Quit. Stop right now. All of us have pride and rebellion, but Satan operates in this clandestine area. It's the deceptive spirit, and we don't even realize we got him. And so when God starts dealing with you, and you start getting ruffled, just back down. Wait a minute. What are you saying to me, Father? See, I'm not telling you, just like that doctor and Jesus went to hell. Well, I'm not telling you which to believe. I'm just telling you I personally don't believe it. But I'm not locked it out just in case. I keep opening myself. Lord, what does this say? What do you mean here? You understand that? I don't want to get off on that thing because there's a lot of teaching there. All right, go on, honey.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
All right, now there's the secret.
That's what
now.
You were talking about last night.
All right, here's the secret now to walking in humility. What do you say, Father? Well, this is what what do you say, Father? Well, this is what my church... No. What do you say, Father? See, submit yourself to God. God says, put in $100 in the offering. Now, 25, Lord. See, you didn't submit, did you? You rebelled. Isn't that mean? God says fast.
I'd rather spell it with an E.
Now, I know that was not God. That was my flesh saying that. So we'll put it off another week, another month, see? Rebellion is going to destroy humility. And you're going to then end up being resisted by God. I don't want to be resisted by God, do you?
No.
So I want to break up this proud, rebellious spirit, walk in humility, and then there will be a manifestation of the glory of God in the church. There will be the fire of God coming into the church. And these beautiful, the full restoration of the ministry of Jesus Christ as He is. 1 John 4:17.
So are you in this world right
Luke,
now?
Luke 6:40.
The disciple is not above his master, but if you be perfect, you'd be as your master.
And then he said, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, you say absolute perfection. I don't know, but it sure sounds pretty strong, don't it? It sounds like you're obeying God. You're not obeying flesh. So let's get this flesh out of us, okay? Read on, honey.
Resist the devil. That's after we submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
So this is coming up to Jesus, you see. You're just hanging around Jesus all the time. And just loving Jesus. We're letting Lillian be Jesus, you see. Just hanging around Jesus all the time. And you resist. Go, you devil. What do you want, Jesus? What's your will in this situation, Lord? Just each situation. Be tender. What do you want here, Jesus? Well, I want this. And I'm just going to do it. God just says do things. So just do them. Don't even ask God. And here you get out here and you get messed up. You lose $100 here. You lose another $100 here. Just fooling around. I remember we bought a church building. It's a warehouse type building. We bought a church building in Tyler, Texas. Man alive. It must have been nine years ago. My son was starting a church and didn't have any place to meet. So we went down and bought a warehouse for him, and man, I've been making the payments ever since. Ain't that a deal? Church never made one. Praise God. Got 4 more years before that dude's paid off. praise him. Sheprokota rabakaya. Now you see, I said, now God, we don't want to do anything but what you... I was obedient to God there. I said, God, what do you want? Your will be done. And I really prayed a lot about it. And I said, you block it, God, if you don't want that. And he blocked it. And then we overrode the block. See, you stinking dummy. I'm talking about me now, see. But that's all it is, just dummy. Overrode the block. And just went another angle at it and opened that thing up and just got it. Praise God. Rebellion, stubbornness, stupidity is not humility. Is this too mean preaching? Nobody said anything too much about that. Go ahead, honey.
Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners.
See, part of holiness, part of humility, cleanse your hands. See, God is calling for an humble people. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. What else, honey?
Meekness.
Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. All right, just like the fingers of your hand. You cut off a finger, you're lacking. Love, kind of hard to have a lot of love without the full joy that goes along with it. It's all got to work together. And so here, same thing about humility. Same thing. Cleanse your hands. It's awful hard to have humility and dirty hands. See, all these things dovetail together. Draw nigh to God.
And he will draw nigh to you.
Cleanse your hands.
You sinners.
All these are part of humility. Obedience to God in every area. When Jesus got angry in the spirit and drove out the money changers, upset them, kicked them over, drove out the animals with a whip. Man, he was froth, and you know, humanly speaking, he was angry. He was steaming. He didn't look like he was humble, but he was 100% submitted to God, and he was humble. He looked on those Pharisees, and oh man, he gritted his teeth almost as he spoke. Fire come out of his mouth. Some of the names he called those Pharisees. Are you listening to me? He was humble. Absolute humility is 100% obedience to the Father. Praise God. Doesn't that mean? This humble message is tough. Read on, honey.
Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning.
Purify your heart and get down and start repenting. These were Christian people. Repent. Get down and weep before God. That is part of humility. Like fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It's all dovetailed together. These things are all in the section clustered under in the area of humility. Weep before God. Purify your heart. See, do you believe God's calling you to that type of a walk today?
Yes.
God is calling for a holy people.
Yes,
He's
amen.
Calling for a pure people.
Praise God.
He's calling for a people who will break their rebellious, stubborn, hard heart. And weep before God. Oh, Glenn over here, he's got a tender heart. He'd just weep at the drop of a hat. He's just gentle. Some of you hard as I am. Are you out there? I don't know how Jack is here. You tender or hard? Now, how do I break up that hard heart? Humble yourself before the Lord and begin to weep before God. If you can't do anything else, just do it by faith. Just start weeping. Are you hearing me? You say, what do I weep for? Weep for your own stupidity. Weep for your own rebellion. Weep for your own blindness. I'm coming on hard this morning. I don't mean for it to be hard. I want it to be gentle. You follow me? But sometimes it comes out hard, but take it. Praise God. But begin to weep. I learned that whatever you yield to, you get. See, you learned a hard heart by yielding to it all your life. So if you start yielding to the weeping spirit, oh God, begin to weep for your nation. Begin to weep for the sins of the homosexuals. Begin to weep for the sins of these judges that's doing all these dumb things, turning our nation completely around to socialism. Weep for the sins of the youth in the street, taking all this dope and drinking liquor and smoking and crazy kids. Gangs everywhere. Just craziest stuff you ever heard of. Weep for the kids. I mean, even if you're hard-hearted, it don't take you long to get in the spirit of weeping when you start weeping for the needs of people. Weep for your own ignorance and your own rebellion. See, this says cleanse your heart. Weep before God. It starts breaking up the proud, rebellious heart, and your heart starts getting tender before God. And then when you begin to think of these things and begin to intercede, your heart begins to cry. See, I can weep. I'm talking to you, I can weep when I begin to think of those things. And I can begin to weep when I begin to think of your potential. You're the most powerful people on the earth. And yet you're practically completely locked out of the power of God. Brother Jack, we're the most powerful people in the world. But we're locked out, and it's primarily because of our pride and rebellion. You see, no matter what I tell you, discerning the voice of God or anything, it's all holiness. I mean, if you was just like Jesus in obedience and holiness, you wouldn't have to teach you how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. It'd be automatic. The problem is rebellion. The problem is stubbornness and hardness and orneriness and meanness. See, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm part of it. If I were perfect, I'd be exactly like Jesus. Boom, hmm. Man, you talk about a camp meeting, we'd have one. So don't take this that I'm condemning you. I'm talking to you. All right? It's fun to preach to you, though. Ha, ha. But when I read these over at home in a room just like now, I weep before God. God, forgive us. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. See, I take this personal. Forgive me, Father. Don't take this as a message. Wish the guy would shut up and get through. God, forgive me. That's it. God, forgive me.
God, forgive me.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Open my eyes,
Help
Lord.
Me to move into this.
Help me to move into this.
Every last one of you want to move into the perfection of God. You want to move into the life of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
But you don't really realize what it means to do it. It's going to be straightening up and flying right. All right, Lillian, where are we?
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Your joy to heaviness.
Now, how about that? See, in other words, get serious. Let your laughter die out in, you know, just don't pay a bit of attention to anything. See, you're not real serious. Now, does this mean I'm going around with a long face? Oh, no. No, just get serious before God. Get alone with God. Weep before God. Begin to mourn for the sins of the nation, the sins of people, and your own stupidity. I do this all the time. I mean, I spend more time repenting than I do anything else. I spend more time weeping for the needs of people and my own needs. You keep a tender heart. You keep a gentle heart. You keep a pure heart when you love people. When you look down on people because of their sins, you're in trouble.
Amen.
My goodness. What did you do this so hot? You see, all of us are guilty. And so remember, that's what Jesus taught, honey, over there in Matthew, where he's talking about forgiving, and the guy wouldn't forgive the fellow a quarter when he had been forgiven $1 million. He got thrown to the tormentors, and Jesus said, "That's what my Father will do for you. If you can't forgive your fellow man a little dab will do, just a little dab, when you've been forgiven a whole big bunch, you're in bad shape. God forgave me the impossible debt, and I can't forgive you for anything you do wrong." See, I've got to have a repentant heart, don't I?
Amen.
And I've got to repent for you. People call me with a problem. I say, "Hey," with somebody else, say, "You start repenting for them." Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You got somebody you don't like that did you wrong, you start weeping before God and repenting for their sins. That is genuine forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." When you say, "Lord, forgive me," what are you doing? You're repenting. When you say, "Forgive them," what are you doing? You're repenting for that guy. That mean they're going to get saved because you repent? No, they're going to have to repent too. But the point of it is, you opened up something in your own heart for God to be able to do what he has to do. He might have to sock them in the nose to get them to repent. But you don't sock them yourself. Vengeance
Amen.
Is mine.
Amen.
And I'll repay.
Praise
Read on,
God.
Man.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Now see there? There's where you want, isn't it? You want to come up into that place of Brother Jack's sonship. You want to come in to that realm of the ministry that God has given you. You want to come into that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's it saying? Absolute holiness. Absolute obedience. Go ahead, honey.
Speak not evil one of another, brethren.
Oh, that critical spirit. Shoo!
He that speaketh evil of his brother.
Listen to this.
And judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Now, he says, if you criticize, judge a brother. Now, I'm talking about when God lays something on you and you have to deal with the sins of a brother. You understand that, Jack? That's something else.
There are times you have to handle a situation.
Paul said, if there's somebody among you that can judge and handle this, oh, yeah, Paul dealt with him. He said, turn him over to the devil. I mean, he dealt with that old boy. Yeah, there's judgment in the kingdom of God by you and me, ministers primarily, and the church. But then notice this, though. Glory to God. If I judge you in a critical manner, then I am moving above the law, I'm above God, and I am becoming God over you. See, what is that? That, really, that's witchcraft. That's demonic. That's Satan. I am in complete rebellion against God when I criticize a brother. Y'all loving me? Now, you see, that comes in degrees. Sometimes we can do it real easy, just a little dab over here. It's not near as serious, but boy, we get in that mean critical spirit. Start judging a brother. Just really raking them over the fire. We are holding ourselves up above that brother, and in so doing, we're holding ourselves up above God himself. When you say a curse word, or you say, God, judge this, or God, damn this, see? You're moving yourself, God, you're my servant, do this!
That's right.
See, you're moving above God, and you're commanding God to obey you. When you judge somebody, you're in exact rebellion against the law of humility. You guys at least smile a little bit and act like it's good. Because this is a healing message for you. It's not tearing you up, mess. It isn't to tear you up. It's to love you and to get you to say, well, here's where I'm missing it. And then take these scriptures and weep before God with these scriptures. I do that with every one of these scriptures. I weep before God because I've criticized a lot of people. You understand? And I ask God, I don't criticize near as much as I did a couple of years ago. Now, I wasn't real bad a couple of years ago, but bad enough. Follow me? I do less all the time. It's working. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?
All right, we'll leave that verse now. I told you I was going to have to talk about that. The powerful area of humility. Just mark it down. James 4, 16 through 12.
6 through 12.
Read those verses. Repent. Weep before God. You get a hold of this message, sweethearts. Now, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6.
All of you be subject one to another.
Oh, now there is part of humility. Read the next part, honey.
And be clothed with humility.
Uh-huh.
For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Now watch this. We told you love, joy, peace. They all go together.
Humble yourselves, therefore.
Same thing with humility. Read it again, honey.
Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season.
Start again. Read it again.
All of you be subject one to another.
All right. Now, what does it mean, Lillian, to be subject one to another?
Well, just recognize that the other fellow may have some smarts, too. You don't have the whole ball of wax yourself.
See, that means I am to be subject to you. See, I am to honor you and recognize you as a very beautiful person, very powerful person, a sweetheart in the Lord, a person that has potential. So I'm to honor you and to recognize you. And not put you down, well, you dog, I'm going to preach to you. Isn't that a nice deal? And that's the spirit of some ministry. Are you following me? No. We're to recognize each other. That is part of humility. Jesus recognized people. And he loved people. You're not going to get too far with humility without loving people. You say, Brother Bruce, I just don't like the way you're preaching. You can at least love me anyway. You understand that? You don't have to agree with me if I'm wrong. But you do have to agree with me, ha, 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 if I'm right. Wasn't that slick, Jack? Praise God, praise God, praise God. All of you be subject one to another. All that means preacher can't be too cocky either, huh?
Amen.
Bless God, I'm the pastor. And Well, now, there's certain authority a pastor has.
Amen.
He's got a responsibility for that church. And there's certain areas, you see, that's another side. Oh, there's all kinds of sides in God's Word.
Amen.
Brother Glenn got up here and said, now we're not going to do this in this camp. Well, that won't stop it all, but he, at least he's setting some order, you see. At least you have to get up here and set some order. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Where are we, honey?
God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may be exalted in due season.
All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. See how that goes together? So if I honor you, I'm automatically in the realm where I can put on some humility. But if I say, dog, 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 proud, proud, arrogant, rebellious, stubborn, no humility. So, how do I get humble? I have to recognize you for what you are, God's precious little sweetheart. You say, but I just don't... Well, so what? I don't like you either. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in you I probably wouldn't like. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says Christ
dwells in you, died for all.
Therefore,
we're not to know ourselves after the flesh.
Let's get all that. Now, therefore, we which live
should not live for ourselves, but for him who loved us and gave himself for us.
All right, so here we are. We're living for Jesus, see? Here, living for Jesus again. All right? All right, and then it says, verse 16, honey, you're not to know yourself
after the flesh.
Oh, the flesh says, man, you're stupid. Man, you got an IQ of about 80. No, no. The Bible said he's overflowed to me what?
Wisdom and prudence.
Yeah, wisdom and... You have the mind of Christ. Highest IQ in the world.
Amen.
Now, why isn't it working? You got it blocked out with rebellion, stubbornness, and unbelief.
Yes.
The more holy and righteous you become, the more mental alert you'll become. Because you have the full mind of God, which includes it, of Jesus, which includes his intelligence. Yeah. The old sweetheart, don't take that as condemnation. Some of you got your intelligence working in certain areas better than a lot of others, and you're not even all that religious, all that faithful. So some of us inherit better things from our parents. Are you listening to me? But here, God is telling us that we're to be clothed with humility. He said, not know yourself after the flesh. You're a new creature. You have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing impossible with you.
Amen.
See, that's the very next scripture said, if any man be in Christ,
he's a new creature.
He's a new creature. All things
are passed away and all things are become new.
You don't have any problems. You don't have any bad inheritance. Don't have anything wrong with you. See, I understand what Glenn's talking about. I preach it myself. Deliverance from the curse. I know all that. That's another angle. All kind of angles in God. You don't have any problems. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're under the blood. There's nothing wrong with you except stupidity. Keep loving me now. You see, if you could receive it, if you could receive it, Christ had broken the curse. Don't you misunderstand me, man. I break the curse all the time because you have to do it by faith. It's already been done. It's just like you're a new creature. You're already there. But here's all this hell hanging on you. You have to bust those things up, break those curses off, activate the covenant, activate this promise that Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Last night we were talking about the message, the idea of repentance and coming back to God. And the Lord gave me the parallel of like driving from New York to California. You can head your car in the right direction, but you're not going to get there overnight. And it's the same way with coming back to God, with coming into this humility. You head in that direction, and it's going to take you a little while to get there. But you, as long as you keep your car headed in the right direction, you'll eventually make it. But if you take some side trips and go down to New Orleans...
Now, this scripture we just got through reading, it says, humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up and said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. See, Brother Jack, there is a season for this full ministry to break in the earth. Oh, I want to agree with you. We're going to get her broken, brother.
Amen.
We're going to get her broken. This thing's going to break, brother.
Yes.
And you were talking about a while ago. It's going to break.
Amen.
It's going to come in, glory
yes,
to God.
Yes, glory.
We're going to see the Shekinah glory on the body of Christ again.
Hallelujah.
We're going to march in the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
But it'll be in humility before God. It'll be in tenderness before God. It'll be with a teachable spirit. It'll be with a people that honor and respect one another. They're not, what we say in Hago, big shot here. Yeah. Praise God. All right. Humility comes by way of the wilderness.
Deuteronomy
8. That's where most of us stay, in the wilderness. You say, not me. I'm in Canaan land. Oh, yeah, but you know what? I want to tell you something. I'm in Canaan land, too. That's our legal position. You know, I guess we can call it that. That's what we always call it. But you see, the children of Israel, they marched over into Canaan land. It wasn't long that they were back in the wilderness again. You see, that's exactly what happened, Jack. You say you get saved, man, got the victory for about a week, and then boom, dragging again, see? You went right back to the old curses again, kneeling back into the junk, see? No, you don't have that stuff. You're free. If you start working like that, it'll start delivering you. But most of us need that junk broken off of us and cast out. Don't you ever think that I'm talking against deliverance. I'm just glad that this brother is doing it. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Deuteronomy 8, verse 2.
We're talking about humility that comes by the way of the wilderness.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Isn't that a mess? God led them into the wilderness to humble them and to see if they would keep the commandments of the Lord. Now you see why you are in the wilderness. God is still testing you. I say, thank you, Lord, for the wilderness, but praise God for the manna that I get in the wilderness. I'm on manna now, Brother Jack. I don't have that Canaan victory, Rabu-dah. You know, miracles, signs, and wonders. That's Canaan food. See, I'm still over here in the wilderness preaching to you. We get this thing working, we won't have to preach so much. That's the reason why Pentecostals, they didn't have a whole lot of preaching. They just had a lot of signs. I wasn't back there, but I think that was quite a bit of it. I know they preached too. Praise God, praise God. Wilderness. Read it again, honey. Listen to this.
Then thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
I get in a verse like that, I say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, that I'm still in the wilderness. God, forgive your people. They're still in the wilderness. They haven't got enough sense to go into Canaan land. Brother, I believe as we start moving into the heart of God in this last hour. We're in the last hour. This is a showdown generation, brother. Glory to God. As we humble ourselves before God, repent, he'll get us out of that wilderness real quick. But we're not coming out one or two. This Brother Jack got that load on his back. He has to bring them all out. Oh, ho. We have to. You have to catch a burden. See, there's leaders that have to catch a burden and birth. See, that's kind of like the man-child of Revelation 12. You know, that can be several things, but it can also be the birthing of a great move of God. You hear me? When the man-child, the woman was in travail, and she brought forth, and she brought forth a man-child. Well, that could be. You see, that was Jesus, and he was caught up to heaven. Could be. Could be that. Could be also the... See, God would have many things. It also could be the birthing of a great move of God. And these were caught up into heaven. You say, well, they were raptured out. Well, maybe they were and maybe they weren't. They could have been just caught up into a glory realm and fought like, hmm. You never know what that is. You just hang loose, be teachable. That's God. This is what I believe about that. You see, no, don't be that way. Be tender. Maybe that does mean that. You see, if you're not open before God, you'll never learn anything. You don't have to be gullible. You can stay steady and still be teachable. Open yourself up to God. See, that was what we talked about, humility. You draw nigh to God. You open up to God. You submit to God. See how easy it is to talk to me about that. I know about that doctrine. You don't know anything. You're just rebellion and rebellion and mad. You're not going to learn anything that way. You say, well, Lord, what are you saying? See, now that's the gentle spirit. That's the tender spirit. What are you saying, Lord? What do you want me to know here? See, you don't have to worry about God. He's not going to mess you up. He's not going to teach you wrong stuff. So I said, Revelation 12, giving birth. We're talking about Jack having that load on his back, interceding and bringing the body of Christ into a move of God. And I said, you need to get under that. And that's what God was showing me last night. You need some help to birth this. A lot of people have to birth the man child, so to speak, if that's what that's saying. And I'm saying man child because Brother Jack understands that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And so we're saying that verse over there about Paul said, I travail in birth. Until Christ be formed in you. You understand that? So there's a travailing to bring the body of Christ into this last day move.
Amen.
And this is what you're praying about. This is what you're travailing for. This is what you are birthing. A great move of God in the land.
Yes, hallelujah.
And this is why we're preaching this morning on humility.
Yeah.
I couldn't have preached this in the charismatic move 10 years ago. Because I could have taught a few people, and they'd say, yeah, yeah, but it would have been dead. And half of them been like it. Now give me some strong faith stuff, brother. Oh, praise God, praise God. Y'all love me now. Because I believe in being strong and being positive, but at the same time, you got to remember, they said, I'm a word church. Well, I preach in all those word churches. And I tell them like this, and some of you may have heard me. Well, if you're a word church, y'all believe all the word.
From giver to giver.
Y'all hearing me? This is word.
Yes.
Got to believe it all, you little stinkers. Praise God. I believe you do. You wouldn't be here. This is kind of a select group out here, honey.
It is.
All right, he humbled us.
Verse 3.
Deuteronomy 8 and 3.
And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord.
Now you see here, we're talking about humbleness by the way of wilderness. Here God humbled us. Now that's terrible. If you can just kind of humble yourself as a little child and do it by faith and get that thing straightened out on your own, it's better than going to the desert. You know, my ministry has been in the desert for the last 10 years. And I've been stronger in Jesus than I've ever been. You hear me? I am not backslid. But my ministry is in the desert. You know why my ministry is in the desert? Because the churches are in the desert. And I suffer along with the backslidden rascals. We're part of the church. You get the glory going, boy, I'll get my glory going again. My ministry will come alive. Now, I don't mean my preaching ministry. I'm just talking about the flow. I mean, doors opening, doors closing. Man, we used to didn't have to call anybody for ministry. They'd just call us all the time. Never call a person. Person tells us to call, we wouldn't even call them. They want us to preach, just call themselves. I just felt like I shouldn't have to do that. Now, if I want to preach anywhere, I have to call somebody. Except one once in a while, like Glenn might call you, but most of the time you have to go looking for a place to preach. Isn't that a crazy thing? Man, the people aren't hungry anymore. Are y'all loving me?
Yeah.
So I've been in the wilderness. Because the church is in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Moses had to stay in the wilderness with them.
Yeah.
Joshua had to stay in the wilderness with them.
Leaders.
You and I are in the wilderness this morning because some of those Baptists are in the wilderness. The reason why I said the Baptists because some of them are going to be in this move.
Amen.
Some of those ornery Methodists are in the wilderness. And some of those stinking charismatics are in the wilderness. Heck, all of them are. I'm talking about all the body of Christ is in the wilderness. And there's a bunch of people coming out, glory to God. They're going to come out with the fire of God on them. They're going to come forth and no enemy will be able to stand before them. They'll be anointed with the anointing. That anointing you find in Isaiah 10:27, the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yeah.
That was a promise of God's repetition. He talked about that. And what else did he talk about? You remember, honey? That same time? Putting you on the spot?
No, I don't remember.
He talked about the opening of the Red Sea.
Right.
And the anointing that was on Gideon. He said, that type of anointing will be restored. The opening of the Red Sea, there will be no sea stand before you.
There will be nothing that will stand before you. There was nothing that could stand before Jesus.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can stand before a man of God that's walking in absolute surrender to God, absolute humility. You'll walk with the fire of God on you. And I said that last night. If you throw an atomic bomb at you, you'll pick it up and throw it back. I mean, even if the thing goes off, it won't hurt you unless it was in God's program. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down, pick it up when I get ready. Aren't you afraid they're going to kill you? Which one? Praise God. Impossible. Walking in the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Yeah, God will have a people, but they'll be a humble people. They'll be a teachable people. They won't be in rebellion against the Holy Spirit. See, most of us say, well, I'm not in rebellion. But I tell you, you are in rebellion or you wouldn't be in the wilderness. You say, well, I'm not in the wilderness. Boy, I got the victory. Well, sweetheart, I got the victory too. But it's in the wilderness.
It's just like the children of Israel had water in the wilderness. But every now and then Moses had to speak to the rock or hit the rock to get it.
I keep saying, thank God for the manna in the wilderness. See, we got manna here this morning. Glory to God, it's better than starving to death.
You bet it is.
But we're coming out of this manna stuff. We're coming into the glory of God.
Yes,
we're
amen.
Coming into the full ministry of Jesus Christ when the fire of God will burn in you.
Yes, hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory will be seen upon you. Gentile revivals moving in the power of God. Praise God, praise God,
yes,
praise God, praise God, praise
hallelujah.
God, praise God.
Deuteronomy 8:16.
Oh, I want to ask you something about that, honey. He says, well, you're going to learn that man does not live but by man bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What do you think that means? We're talking about humility now.
Well, if you listen to God, then he's going to guide you in the places you're supposed to be. And he's going to be able to provide for you much better if you're where he wants you to be.
That's a pretty good answer, honey. I was wanting to know what that meant.
Thank you.
Her theory. Her theory. Good one, though. See, they're out here in the wilderness. Well, I want something to eat. Well, here's some manna, but you're going to forget about food. That's not major here. We'll just give you some manna. You just get by, but we're going to lead you. You're going to learn to follow me, you rascals. I told you to go into the Canaan land way back yonder 40 years ago, and you wouldn't do it. Now you're going to learn to obey. I tell you to go this way, and well, it's closer to get into Canaan over here. Yeah, but you haven't spent your 40 years yet. So you're going to stay over here. Sweethearts, there is a time in God. There's a season. And we're in the end of the 40-year wilderness. Thank God, I'm glad this thing's about over.
Amen.
Are you hearing me, Glenn? I'm glad this thing's about over. Glory
praise
to God.
God.
He said he did this to teach you humility. What does humility bring, man? Guidance. Discernment of the voice of God. You begin to flow in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You won't be buying buildings that you're not supposed to. You won't be making wrong moves. You won't be doing all these dumb things. You'll be open to the voice of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
But what is the road to it? Humility. Obedience. They all flow together. You can't separate any of these things from God. Read the next scripture.
Deuteronomy 8:16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end.
Watch this. God's purpose then is to bring you into humility, teach you obedience, teach you gentleness, long-suffering, all this, then to bring you up in the latter what? What did that say? Latter end?
That he might do you good in thy latter end.
The latter end. You know, I got a short message on the latter end. And God's always blessing the latter end. The latter end of Job was blessed, you see. The latter end. See, that's what we're getting in this last day. This revival is coming up. It's a latter end revival. It's not going to be the tail end, but it is the last great punch that the church is going to do before the full millennial reign comes in. It's going to be the great harvest gathering. Are you there?
Yes.
Be patient. Establish your heart. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What was he talking about? The latter rain. The great outpouring of the Spirit. Proverbs, we're still talking about humility comes by the way of the wilderness. 15:33, Proverbs.
From before honor. It's humility.
Now, isn't that a mess?
If we want honor, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God. And then we can expect the honor.
Before Canaan land, you have to have the wilderness. Before the victory, you have to have that breaking down. Breaking down of your proud heart. So I wanted to get this thing easy. Well, now let me tell you something. The pioneer group have to do this. You understand that, Brother Jack? See, once this thing gets flowing, and this thing's broken through, just like Pentecost. Man, you come in, that's the reason why we had so many idiots. They didn't have to do anything, the power of God was on them, see? Man, they're just crazy to do anything, but they had the power of God, bless their hearts. But you see, somebody broke through for them. Somebody paid the price. You've got to pay the price for this last move. This is that thing that you're trying to turn, Brother Jack. That thing is on you. Well, you've got to get in there and pay the price and birth this thing to come out of the wilderness. Humility comes by way of the wilderness. Like I told you, the last 10 years, man, I spent a lot of time before God. Lord, I'm coming through. Lord, I'm coming through. And then at the same time, I started interceding strongly for the whole body of Christ. See, I have to bring the whole body of Christ out of the mess they're in, or I'll keep on being the mess. Y'all still loving me?
Yeah.
Keep on going, honey.
Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility.
All right, before your destruction.
The heart of man is haughty, proud.
Ooh, ooh. Lord have mercy. Those children of Israel are rebellious and ornery and mean. We are not going to go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb says, come on, you can do it.
All those ten liars,
they said, no. No, you got problems out there. And the people were haughty, and they believed those thinking negative reports. See, haughty, rebellious. No, sir, we're not going in there and getting killed. And so God says, you go to the wilderness then. We'll go. And they got slaughtered. See? Before honor, before destruction,
the heart of man is proud.
See, the reason why you get destroyed is the old rebellion. And you're proud. See, you can get rid of some of this destruction that comes your way if you learn to humble yourself. See, if you break up that hard heart on your own. I want to confess, I'm breaking up my hard heart.
Amen.
Honey, don't say that like that. I believe, see, she said that like she thought I had a hard heart, huh?
Well, if the shoe fits, wear it.
This is a naughty little woman exhorter up here, don't you think? I think I'll sit her down. She's getting kind of out of line. Praise God, praise God. I like that verse, honey. Before destruction.
The heart of man is haughty. You notice that says man.
Why did you get in such a mess you're in? God said, because you have a rebellious, haughty, stubborn heart. You said, well, I didn't know I had that. So I told you, that Satan operates in deceit. Why, these people don't know they're getting off dumb doctrines. It's a clandestine operation. Oh, boy, this sounds so good, and they're following the devil. This sounds so good, this great teacher up here. And he's nothing but the devil himself. I mean, God's in him, he loves Jesus. But here's this devil stuff flowing out of him. This hell. And he's so stupid he don't know it. Are you listening to me? And what's worse than that is you sit there and suck it in. I'm not saying you. I'm just talking about the body of Christ. I hope most of you got enough sense to sort this out and see if this is God that I'm saying this morning. Are you hearing me? I think you'll find out it's pretty much God. But I give you the opportunity to go seek the Lord and pray about it before you make up your mind if you're not, you know, if you've got any questions.
Now, you better seek God when a preacher stands before you.
Now, humility obeys the word.
2 Chronicles 30:11-12. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord.
Honey, tell us what happened there real quickly.
Well, after the division of the northern and the southern kingdom, the northern Rehoboam set up these calves and said, these are your gods that you're going to worship. But not everybody followed him, even though he was king. Some of them decided they were going to go down to Jerusalem and worship down there. So there was always a group of the 12 tribes down in the
southern
kingdom.
What happened to old King Hezekiah? He was king of the southern kingdom, and he sent letters up to the northern kingdom and said, get down here and worship God. And they already got their gods up there, see? And what did this scripture say, honey?
It said some of them from Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem.
See, they didn't stay in their old dead church. They didn't stay in their old dead doctrine. They said, I heard the word of the Lord, and it struck something down here, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to worship God. See what they're doing? They're turning back. They're back on religion. They're turning their back on doctrine, and they're turning to Jesus. Humility means you obey the word and not religion.
Yes, amen.
Humility means you obey the voice of God and not necessarily what you've been taught in your church. You have to move away from the old water wells. You remember Israel, Abraham, wasn't it, dug the wells, and then the Philistines plugged them up. See, a lot of you got your wells all plugged up by the Philistines and still sitting there at those dry wells. Are you out there? The churches have dried up. Many, I don't say all your churches, sweethearts. I'm talking about some of these churches that's missed God. They've dried up. And you sit there at the old water hole, and then what happened, honey? You remember what happened?
What, in the Philistines?
No, on the Isaac, wasn't it? Was sitting there at the old water hole, and then the king come up to him and says, you guys are too powerful for us. Get out of here. You're too powerful for us. Get away from here. You listen to me? A lot of churches out there has got some got charismatic or spirit-filled people in them, and they're sitting there in those dumb churches, and they don't want them. And they told them in so many words, get out of here, and they still sit there at those old, dumb, dry water holes. Sweethearts, I'm telling you, get away from those dumb, dry water holes, or it's going to cause you to get thirsty, dried up. Come out and be a people that fear God.
Amen.
Be a people that honor God. You can't take that. I didn't see a strong anointing on what I said there, but apparently not any of you in that kind of a mess. But if you are, get out of it. You have to obey God, of course. Go ahead, honey.
In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12.
Now listen to this. Humility honors a true prophet. See, we just got through saying humility obeys the word. When the word speaks to you, you do it. The word says get up and go here, you do it. The word says fast and pray, you do it. Whatever the word says to you at that time, whatever quickens in your heart, or whatever God speaks directly to you. Okay?
And Zedekiah did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord.
Now here's Jeremiah, he's up there ministering by the word of the Lord, and this old boy sits there in rebellion. And he wouldn't humble himself. Sweethearts, if I said something today that turns you off, that's, my personality, you didn't like it or something like that. That's all right, just say God forgive him. But see, I preached a lot of good word here this morning. You see, now if you're getting turned off on the inside, and I don't like that, and get as soon as you get out here, start criticizing. Sweetheart, don't do that. Don't be stupid. Because God may be talking to you. This guy would not humble himself before the prophet. And so the fire of God eventually got him. He would not submit to what the prophet was saying. Now, Brother Jack will be up here preaching tonight. Whatever he happens to say is from the Holy Ghost. And you sit there, I don't go with that. You see what's going to happen? You're going to be in the same condition this guy was. Where is that scripture, honey? Praise God, praise God, praise
Second
God.
2 Chronicles 36:12.
Zedekiah did not that which was, he did that which was evil in the eyes of the sight of the Lord, and he
humbled not himself.
He humbled not himself before God, Jeremiah. So part of the humility then means humbling yourself before a true minister of God and opening your spirit to what God has to say. And Brother Jack, what we're trying to bring forth here is we've got to be open enough to God to whether we know whether I'm a true minister or not. Amen. See, those prophets, those devil prophets was up there preaching, and here come old Jeremiah or Isaiah or somebody, and he'd be a true prophet. They had to discern which was which. And the sad thing about it, most of them discerned that the good guy was bad and the bad guy was good. Now, isn't that a mess? Now, if you'd come in preaching hard And about 50, well, I don't know what percent, but we'll say 50% of the Spirit-filled churches, I'm talking about Pentecostal, Charismatic, you go in. I'll tell you, a bunch of them get pretty mad about when I come down. Well, this is kind of come down on you message. You follow me?
Yeah.
This is kind of a clean-up message. It's heavy enough right here this morning. I mean, there's not a whole lot of shouting. Praise God, praise God. But at least you're not running me out of here. Come on. We're going to make it. We're going to obey the voice of a true prophet. Say it. We're going to obey the voice of a true prophet. Now, what do I do when I get a verse like that? I say, Father, help me always to be able to discern when your prophet's speaking. Oh, God, help me to know. Open my heart. It'll be tender before a true prophet of God. I want to be open to you, Father, because God's speaking. See, God said, I'll put my words in your mouth. Well, if I'm speaking the word of the Lord this morning, at least in some areas, and you sit there mad as a hornet, man, you've rejected God. See, what is that? Pride and rebellion. Hey, I'm coming out of that mess, aren't you?
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
You say, well, brother, sometimes I discern the guy's evil. Well, that's all right. Sometimes that's the Holy Ghost telling you that. Sometimes it's just your ignorance.
Sometimes it's just the gift of suspicion.
See, sometimes you don't know a whole lot in that area, and it rubs your doctrine wrong, and bless God, you don't like him. See, that is not true discernment. You're going to have to stay so gentle that sometimes you say, God, I'm not sure. I feel this check, Father. I used to go to some of these places, and they were extremists in certain areas. And I'd sit there, and I'd be grieving. My spirit would be grieving. And I'd say, shut up and submit. See, I want to make sure my old flesh wasn't doing it. Submit! Now behave yourself. Just keep on grieving. I'd tell them, submit! Now behave yourself. I'm talking to myself. See, your old flesh can get in a rut, and it won't listen to anything. But I kept breaking my old flesh down so it couldn't get in the way, and I never did submit to that stuff. But I was open to God, so God could teach me any truth that was there. Are you loving me?
Amen.
We're talking about humility. You have to learn to submit to a true prophet. But at the same time, you have to discern when the Holy Spirit's grieving in you. I took a homosexual to work with me one time, singing for it. Now, isn't that a fine deal to have a homosexual sing for you? Brother Jack, now that's really a dude.
You know, three churches in the area said he used to be a homosexual, but he's been delivered.
And he's all right. I mean, they've been watching him. I said, he still looks like a homosexual to me. I said, he acts like one. But I'll take him. See, not obeying God. This young wasn't real old in the spirit that day, just a few years. And you learn a lot more as you go. But every time I'd get around somebody that had kids, I'd feel nervous. Oh, I wouldn't want to let... I just wanted to tell those people, don't let your kids get with this guy, see? I'd get awful nervous, see? It was the Holy Spirit. But I didn't even have enough sense. Oh, I'd follow it through sometimes. I'd say, now, this guy used to be homosexual. Don't trust him too far. Just don't trust him, see? But I didn't follow it through far enough to deal with him on it. Follow me? I'd get around a pastor. I'd say, this guy used to be homosexual. Don't let him get along with your kids. And I did that. And finally, the guy messed up. I left him on the field. He was leaning on me. He was trying to live a straight life, but he was leaning on me, see. I left him on the field for 2 or 3 days by himself, and he made a pass at some young man, and they called me. So I told the guy, I called him. I said, don't you ever show up with me anymore. I don't want you around our ministry. I can't expose a character like you to the body of Christ. Are you there?
No.
Well, then the guy showed up at one of our meetings. I said, you cannot stay with me. And he said, I need you. And I said, I'm not going to have you. But I tell you, we got this church and this church before I go home. And you're here, but I'm going to tell every one of those pastors who you are and what you're doing. That's the only way you can stay. So I went to the next church and I said, this guy's a homosexual. Don't trust him. Don't let him around your young people. Oh, this guy says, now look at this, sweetheart. Oh, God forgives him. Man, I'm talking about a homosexual. I don't care whether God forgives him or not. He's still a homosexual. Are you following me? And the guys watched him a couple of days. And boy, they got a slick operation those fellas do.
I mean, he was a Pied Piper with kids.
Oh, man, could he play the piano. And so the guy comes to me, the pastor comes. You think it'd be all right for me to have him for a youth revival?
I said, man, I'm telling you, he's a homosexual. You can't trust him across the room. Oh, but he's so nice.
See, and God forgives.
Sweetheart, you guys got to straighten up and quit following junk like that. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not talking about you, honey. Well, I went home, and this guy went his way because I wasn't going to take him anymore. And I got another telephone call about his cutting up with somebody just right after that. So I called this pastor and said, you can't have that guy. And you know what? They had him anyway.
And then on top of that, they called him his pastor.
Called the guy his pastor, the crazy. I tell you, some people are flat dumb. See, we had a little a lay pastor there. He'd been pastoring that church for years. And he flat called that guy his pastor, and he backed down. See, people, you got to open your eyes. You don't have to be stupid naive. I'm preaching to you. You need to open yourself up to a man of God. But at the same time, you ought to have discernment. And obey your discernment. And quit submitting to this junk. Well, that kind of got off just a little bit. And we're still going to preach a little bit here. We've preached over an hour, but that won't hurt you. Like this one. Humility comes by breaking that hard heart.
Exodus 10:3. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me.
All right, now see, that was Pharaoh. He never did humble himself. He would not humble himself and obey God, so judgment came to his nation. I mean, God practically messed them up for a long time. Destroyed their army. You follow me? Judgment came because they wouldn't humble themselves before God. So what all Pharaoh would have had it done was humble himself by breaking his hard heart before the Lord, and God would have done something for him.
Amen.
You say, well, you got that in there. I got that in there for you and me. How many times has God spoken to us just in that gentle voice, and no, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that's God. I don't believe. You know, Pharaoh, he just rebelled against Moses. He didn't, you know, he tried to outthink Moses and all that stuff. He didn't realize he was dealing with God there fully. Oh, he thought and think he could realize it. I'm telling you that God's dealing with you in many areas, and you're going to have to quit hardening your heart and say, yes, God, you know what I do? Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. If that's you, talk loud. I'm willing to be made willing. Lord, if that's you. I walked into my house, travel trailer one time. Just bought it about a couple months before that. We had worked and worked, had a beautiful...
We spent 6 weeks redoing the inside of the thing, had it looking like a little dog.
I'll tell you what, this preacher walked in that trailer and God says, give him that trailer. That's another one of those rib rumbling voices. I mean, it wasn't just something down inside. Boy, it boom, boom, boom. I said, God, quit messing with me. Don't pull my leg like that, God. I want this trailer. I fixed it up for me. Well, you see, that's a hard heart. I mean, it wasn't any guesswork about that, Glenn. It was a strong voice. You understand that, Jack? Boom, boom, boom. God knew he'd have to talk strong for me to do that, see? It wasn't one of those open areas. It just closed. Pharaoh was closed. God had to deal with him in a jarring way, but he still wouldn't jar. I don't want God to have to jar me. I just want to be... See, talk to me loud, God. The only reason why I have to talk to you loud is because you're too stubborn to hear him.
You need to turn up your hearing aid.
I got them up as far as they go. Are y'all listening? I said, God, I'll make a deal with you. Deals are good sometimes. I'm willing for you to make me willing to give this trailer. You know something? Instantly, I was ready to give it to him.
God bless the Lord.
And I made him take it the same day. He didn't even have a trailer hitch. It was the next day. I said, get a trailer hitch, and I'm not going to pay for it for you either. He had to use his faith to get a hitch, and I moved out of that into a motel room. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God can jar your frame a little bit, but he don't have to do it. It's better if he'll just talk to you, and you say, okay, God.
Yeah.
But 6 months later, we had us a brand new Airstream.
Hallelujah.
Look at old Josiah here in 2 Chronicles
34 and 27.
Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his word against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord.
Let's go through that. Because your heart was tender, there's that king.
And you humbled yourself before God.
When you heard the words against this place. Now, what happened there, honey? Just give it a little rundown.
Well, this was when Josiah started rebuilding the temple, and they found the Bible, and he started reading it, and he saw what the judgment that was coming against Jerusalem. And he humbled himself. He rent his clothes, and he was moaning and weeping for the children of Israel. And God said, because you did this, the things are going to be relatively good in your time. You're not going to see the punishment.
Honey, read my notes here.
When Josiah began to seek the Lord, he also began to repair the temple.
You hear that? He began to repair the worship.
And to restore the true worship.
When you began to humble yourself before God, there's automatically going to be a restoration of a relationship and a worship with God. There's going to be a time you just spend before God. It's a holy time. I get these words, I get alone, and I come into a holy place with God. Sweethearts, don't wait for a gathering together like this to come into that holy place of worship. Learn to worship God. Glory to God. During the day, worshiping, developing a relationship. He began to repair the house of God where they worshiped. So that when you start seeking God with all your heart and humbling yourself, there's going to be a restoration of that holiness and that fellowship with God. You've got to have that, or you'll never be involved in this last day revival.
Yes, amen.
You'll never be part of the breakthrough group. The breakthrough group are paying a price to bring the fire of God down on this earth. You've got to have an attitude of humility. You've got to weep for the nations of the earth. I weep for those Arab countries. I weep for the corruption in our commerce. I weep for the corruption of the churches and the deadness and the death that's in these churches. Even the good churches. I weep before God. Cry out. Developing a worship and a relationship with God. So, as soon as old Josiah began to seek God, he began to restore worship. And they automatically, if I begin to get restored, you pick up the same spirit and you get restored. If I backslide, you backslide. You understand? The spirit that I preach to you, that you sit under all the time, you're going to pick that up and you're going to be backslid just like everybody else, unless you're a very strong person. And you get off and you get it all on your own. Now, I'm an individual that the preacher can say anything he wants to. I'll go home and get it on my own.
Amen.
You understand? Many of you that way. But some of you aren't. And boy, whatever he puts out, you suck in. See, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to honor a man of God, not an idiot. Are you loving me? Go ahead, honey.
This is dealing with Zedekiah.
We're still up under here. Was it when we finished?
Yeah, we had Josiah.
Okay. You didn't finish those notes, honey. Keep on reading.
At this time, they found the word of the Lord hid away in the temple.
Listen to this now.
It is true as you begin and to seek the Lord, his word will be rediscovered for you.
Hear that? Now, this is the history of what went on there.
When Josiah...
If he began to seek and began to search, they found the word of the Lord.
When Josiah heard it and began to inquire more of God... God's word to him was that judgment would come to the people because of their sin. But because of Josiah's humility before God, the Lord would not send the judgment in his day.
Now notice, Josiah found the word of the Lord, and he held it to him. When you begin to draw nigh to God, you're going to discover the word of God like you never have discovered it before.
Amen.
There is truths in God's word. See, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened.
Amen.
There's things in God's Word that will set you on fire.
Praise God.
See, you and I have not discovered the Word of the Lord. We know it in little parts. This morning we have a little part. But the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll put you on fire for God. You say, are you on fire? No, we're not on fire. We got a little blaze, you know, a little flame.
Smoldering.
just a little flame. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fire that's coming on the body of Christ in this last hour, Jack. I'm talking about this fire, this word that's being rediscovered.
Hallelujah.
When you come into holiness and righteousness, then that word is going to be rediscovered. It's going to come alive, and your mouth will become the word of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
God said, I will put my words in your mouth.
Yes, hallelujah.
And you'll operate under the anointing and the mantle of the Holy Ghost and the mantle of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
This is in order. This message on humility this morning. Kind of heavy at times. Kind of drags you a little bit because it's not one of those messages. Whoopsie, woo, woo. But it's one of those that clean, clean, clean.
Yeah.
Praise God. You got to keep loving me in messages like this.
Second Chronicles 36, 12 and 13. Now this is dealing with Zedekiah.
Now this is some guy else.
This is...
Rebellious wrath. This is Josiah's grandson, by the way.
And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel.
Notice the second generation backslid. Did you hear me? Pentecostal did the same thing. Second generation wasn't near as hot as the first generation. Then the next generation, they wasn't as hot as the other bunch. Then they got a little revival in there, and then they cooled down immediately again. Y'all hearing me? Second generation bunch. Many of you are first generations of a fresh move. We had a fresh move, Brother Jack, and that charismatic move was a fresh move from God. Many of you came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and moving in God at that time. Are you following me? Others are old stock. You understand? It's all right. All one. But glory to God, there is a move now. And thank God that you're hanging in there is what I'm saying.
Amen.
Don't you allow yourself to dry up, you rascals. You stir yourself up. Get a hold of God. Repent. Stir up the fire again. Come back into your first love. Brother, it's going to take that first love ministry to bring in this move of God in this day.
Amen.
This is the holiness of God coming back to the body of Christ.
Yeah,
preacher, 4 or 5 years ago, I got off an airplane in this passage. What's new in the body of Christ, brother? I said, well, not a whole lot, but I'm sort of sensing a holiness move. He said, I don't sense anything like that. Oh, praise God, praise God. But it's kept moving in. It's kept moving in. I couldn't preach it in his church. You understand? Folks wasn't ready for it. Why preach to a bunch of dudes that won't even listen to you? You loving me? Where are we, honey? Dinner time, I know, but let's keep on.
Humility comes by genuine repentance.
Oh, listen to this now.
Luke 18, starting verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
What did this other guy say? I thank God I'm not like that devil over there. You remember that? I thank God I'm not like that old dirty publican. And said, he went down with nothing. But this other guy, he's an old publican sinner. He said, Lord, forgive me, I'm just a dog. God said, he got something. So I learned the key there. Every time I get a whole verse like that, I said, God, forgive me. You see, that's not just empty words, because I know that I'm not like Jesus. So I know, do you hear me, Jack? I know there's something there that's in rebellion against God, or I'd be just like Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, you little stinkers. You read God's word, and when it says, here's the truth, you're so self-righteous, that's God, I'm not like those Baptists. Some of those little Baptists are liable to make it, and you not. Praise God, praise God. Come on. Just begin to weep before God when you see truths like this. Oh, God, that's me. You say, I'm not an old Pharisee like that. Oh, no, you're a little bit dignified Pharisee. You know, you're a Holy Ghost Pharisee. Oh, praise God, praise God. You little sweeties, you be sure now to not take this too personal. Let it for the other fella. Oh, praise God. Not preaching to you, I'm preaching to those that aren't here, huh? Great. Honey, where are we?
We're ready for the next.
We're going to have to quit here pretty quick, but I'll hit a couple of these. The fruit of humility sounds better, don't it?
Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Pride, rebellion, stubbornness, it'll put you in the wilderness. It'll bring you down. But honor comes to the humble man. Honor! The body of Christ will be honored. Jesus said, it's my Father that honors me. Honor comes to the man that's humble and obedient. I said, Father, help me to be obedient. Help me, Lord. And I just stopped and weep there. Because I'm so thick-headed, and you're so thick-headed, and you're dragging me back. And I have to stop and pray for you some more. God, forgive the body of Christ for being so heavy and dumb and stupid. God, help us to break through. Help us, Lord. So we humble ourselves before God. Then the honor. Hey, we're going to walk in that honor. Glory to God.
Yes,
in this hour, we're going to walk in that honor.
Amen.
I'm for the honor, aren't you?
Amen.
But before honor is humility.
Praise God.
Go ahead, honey.
Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also.
Is that where you want to be? That high and holy place with him that is what?
That is contrite and humble spirit.
You have a broken, tender spirit before God. He says, do this, you do it, do this, you do it. See? You're pliable, you're tender, you're teachable, you're humble, you're not rebellious, you're not a, can I say it, just a snotty Christian.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap one
Come
of these
on.
Days.
Your sweetheart, your God's little sweetheart, da-da-da-da, God's little sweetheart, God's little sweetie, God's little sweetie. Are you God's sweetie today?
Yes, I am.
You're going to keep moving in prophecy, brother?
Yes, sir.
You're going to straighten up?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
God.
God's little sweetheart. Amen. You God's little sweetie?
Yes.
Praise God. Humble before God. Humble before God. Humble before God. Teachable. Gentle. Tender and kind. We're talking about the fruits of humility.
But
what is it? Honor.
I like the rest of this verse. As I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that has a contrite and humble spirit, and the purpose to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
What's God going
to
do?
He's going to revive us.
He's going to put you on high is what he's going to do. Thank you, Lord. You're reviving me. Thank you, Lord, you're reviving the body of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, there's coming forth a people who will be revived, who will be full of the fire of God, who will walk in the Shekinah glory of God.
Amen.
God is reviving the person that is of an humble and a contrite spirit. You think we can get into the glory without paying the price? Nobody ever has. Why would we be any different? This is God's hour. And God's day for you and me to lay her on the line and say, God, I'm a candidate for humility and submission and tenderness before God. Teach me how to be gentle and how to be tender. Humility brings complete surrender.
Philippians 2:8-9, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him.
Notice Jesus became obedient. He humbled himself first, then that opened him up to obedience. If you don't humble yourself, you can't obey. See how that steps in? I humble myself, then I obey. I humble myself, I give in the offering what God says. I humble myself, and I go here. I go there. You know, did you say your man is in Malaysia? Been over there 3 times in the last year and a half.
This is in Central Africa.
Pardon?
In Central Africa.
In Central Africa.
Well, neither one of those places is all that hot. For your flesh. They're both hot. I want to tell you something. I don't like to go back to those countries. I say, God, I don't want to go back. But I'll tell you what, God, I do want, if you want me to go, I'll be okay to go. But I'd rather not go till I get the fire working better. Man, I want to go over there. I want the fire of God on me.
Those people have needs, man. And I go in there just like this morning. If I was operating like I ought to, glory to God, you'd all be swinging on the chandeliers. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You understand? I'm preaching to you what my heart's crying out for. I want this power working in me, but it's going to cost your pride. It's going to cost your old flesh. You're going to have to pay for it, you little stinkers. Are you willing? Are you ready to buy it? Well, take it all. The whole deal. Moving you into the realm of the supernatural. Humility
opens
the door to the kingdom.
Matthew 23:12-13. Whosoever shall exalt of himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go
in. What happened? Pride, rebellion, and stubbornness shut the kingdom of God from the Pharisees. They couldn't enter in, and they couldn't bring anybody else in. What's the reverse of that then, honey?
If you have humility, you're going to open the door.
You say, I'm already in the kingdom. Oh, of course you're in, but just barely in. Who wants to get buried in the border of his inheritance? Joshua, they said, buried in the border of his inheritance. I want to be so far beyond the border that they can't get me to the border.
Amen.
Brother, I don't want to be hanging around the border. I want to get into this thing, moving on with God. Praise the Lord. So humility will open the door fully to the kingdom of God. See, you and I have a tendency to read the scriptures like that in old dead stuff. History. A person talked to me on the phone the other day, said, I just read those verses you got in the Bible, they're a bunch of history. I said, hey, man, they're history because you're dead. Man, the Word of God's not history, it's alive. Man, you read that scripture as though God just printed her for you. What was you saying there, God? You said all these things were given from my instruction. Well, God's saying something in every one of those scriptures for you. Man, the Word of God comes alive. Well, all of you happy?
Yeah.
I think it's lunchtime. Come on up here, brother. Father God, let's all stand. Father God, we thank you for God's precious sweethearts this morning. And we just confess that this dinner is sanctified by the power of God and the name of Jesus. We confess we're living in divine health, Lord. We also confess, Father, that our sins are under the blood. And we love the Lord Jesus. And we do humble ourselves before God. And we seek the face of God today. We confess a great meeting this afternoon, a great move of God in the deliverance session, a great move of God in the ministry this evening. But we sanctify this food and confess divine health in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.